Following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Welcome to the Pulse Gamecast, episode 52. I'm your host, Cradle.
And I'm Jason.
Today's record date is 11/25/2014. Let's see here. As we always do, Jay, what's been keeping you busy?
I should be playing SWTOR, without a doubt, as usual. So I subbed and I pre-ordered, and here I am wasting my 12x game time. But I'm playing MechWarrior Online again.
Right.
It's like a recurrent thing. I mean, you know, it's a seasonal crack is what it is. This time of the season, I have to climb into a cockpit and pretend I'm shooting people. But it's been keeping me really busy because they made a lot of strides lately. And, you know, like I said, I was away from the game for a while because I kind of got fed up with, the climate of the game changed. But now I'm back in because with the introduction of the clans and they're releasing the mechs in waves now. There's no one set mech that you're seeing a lot of, and a lot of the teams that used to be really, really good and go through, because a lot of people would clump up as companies and then go through, you know, or lances, and then go through and just kick everybody's ass. Now that the mechs have changed up, it's thrown kind of a monkey wrench into everything, so a lot of the unbeatables are becoming beatable. And if you know what you're doing and you play your mech well, along with the way that they're weighting the pillars now, you know, if you're a light mech, you get a lot more face time than if you choose medium or heavy. And then, believe it or not, assault mechs are second in line. So if you choose a light or assault, you get a lot more game time. And I'm making a buttload. I actually did, with just C-bills, I bought an Adder Prime. No, an Adder D, I think. The one that has a multi-mix. It's got like an ERPPC and, you know, ACX, and then a laser and a flamer. So... Yeah, I mean, it's actually a pretty good mech. It's got the loadout of a medium mech, but it moves at the speed of a light, no jump jets. But I bought that with C-bills instead of using MC. I bought that with C-bills that I'd made while I was doing it, but now it was 7 million C-bills.
Right.
But I did buy it, and I'm enjoying it, and it gets me a lot of FaceTime. I'm using a Spider D, 5D, and that Adder, and I'm seeing a lot of FaceTime, and I've already made 2 mil back just in 2 days. So what about you?
I was playing a little bit of SWTOR, and then Dragon Age Inquisition hit the shelves, and that's all I've been doing. So, I don't even know where to begin on this. I can't praise it enough. I talked about this last week, and with the tapestry marking your decisions from the previous two games. So don't feel that you have to run out and play Dragon Age 1 and 2, even though they're great games. But I've been playing it. I've been loving it. It's awesome. It's great. I highly, highly recommend that you play this game. I started off as a human mage and got somewhere, I think, around maybe 6 or 7 hours into it. And I'm still enjoying it, but I wanted to try something a little different. So I restarted the game as a dwarf two-handed fighter, and right now I'm using a great sword and whatnot, and I'm enjoying that a little bit better, because of course I'm able to get up in the mix and stir it up instead of staying in the back and launching magic and whatnot. But pretty much that's all I've done is Dragon Age Inquisition. As I said last week, out of the box, you know, if you do everything, every quest and blah 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 blah, 150 hours, so plenty to keep me busy, or anyone.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I know, I don't know if our listeners knew this, but I knew that you had just recently upgraded your hardware. Dragon Age Inquisition, what would you consider, honestly, let me put it this way. What are you running right now?
Video card-wise, it's a NVIDIA GeForce GTX 750 Ti, and... it's a 4 gigs.
4 gigs, yeah.
4 gigs, yeah. 4,000 megs. Yeah, 4 gig card. My processor, I don't remember the exact specs off the top of my head, but it is a fourth generation i5. And I'm running
4400, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually a 40, I think it's a 4890.
Nice, a 48. Wow, I didn't think it was that. Awesome.
I'd have to run DX what? Diagnostic here to
No,
but
what's on your what kind of memory is on your motherboard?
8 gigs.
So you got 8 gigs, a 4 gig video card, an i5 fourth gen, and I'm guessing, did you do SSD on your hard drive?
Yeah, SSD with mechanical combo. And I have the game on the mechanical, of course. It's a huge game. And I didn't have room to stow it on the SSD.
Yeah, well, what's a Tiger Direct just put their 128 gig SSDs on sale for $40. I was like, what?
Right.
I know, right? So with that kind of thing that you've got going, is do you what speed do you run DAI at now? Is it like at full? Are you running it at completely full with, you know, balloons and shadows and everything?
Yeah, ultra. Oh, and I'm sorry. I did run DX Diagnostic. I'm running a 4690 processor.
4690, yeah. Okay,
yeah, so quad core at 3.5 gigahertz.
Nice.
Yeah, fully DirectX 11 capable. Yeah, I'm running as high as I can set everything, ultra and high, on in the game, and I'm having no lag, no rubber banding or it's not an MMO, of course, but I'm not having any kind of graphical glitch or anything. It's running great.
That's amazing.
And it's a beautiful game, too. Beautiful, beautiful. So, yeah, that's primarily what I've been playing. Like I said, I can't recommend it enough. It's awesome. Alrighty, and just when something Jay mentioned with SWTOR, where he's playing that, and I need to kind of do that as well, don't forget that if you are a subscriber and you pre-ordered the Revan expansion, early access for that begins December 2nd, so that's when that big honkin' times 12 XP boost runs out. So jump on and level those tunes quickly, or you're going to miss out. But patch, like big update 3.0, as well as the expansion December 2nd for subscribers. December 9th for preferred, I think.
Yeah, I can see my bandwidth getting eaten up that day. Yay.
Right. Level! All right, let's move on to news. Just real quick, because Jay's got something pretty cool to talk about. Valiant Online, which we have talked about greatly, is a Kickstartered superhero MMO, one of the spiritual successors to City of Heroes. And I never understood this, but I thought they did a Kickstarter like a year or two ago, and then the website's been up, and like last week they started another Kickstarter, which they were calling The Kickstarter. So I don't know what was going on there. I think the first one may have been like crowdfunding or something and not Kickstarter.
Yeah.
But anyways, they got the startup cash, and maybe that's what that was. But they wanted to do a Kickstarter, I guess, to bring them across the finish line. Well, they canceled the Kickstarter. That was just like yesterday, I think. Yesterday was Monday. I think they canceled the Kickstarter. They were asking for 15 grand. They immediately got 33 grand. And they canceled. They didn't really sort of kind of say why. Their community project manager quit, but what they did is, instead of whatever, they opened up today signups for stress test for the game. So I'm including a link in the show notes. It's Valiant Online. You can sign up right now at the time of this recording to be a kind of a beta tester, stress tester for the servers, which I believe they're wanting to run like ASAP. The game looks great. These are all City of Heroes fans that started the other game, or started this game. And looking at the screenshots, it looks like what we would expect an updated version of City Heroes to look like. It looks great. It looks awesome. I plan on playing it when it drops, so be sure to check that one out. Now Jay's got some other Kickstarter news for us, and this one's kind of crazy.
I know, right? So I couldn't not put this in the show notes when I ran across it. I was like, what? And so I don't know, how do you introduce this? Bloodsport gets a real gets right. a real thing in modern gaming, I guess. So apparently, I didn't know this was kicking around the world, but Gray told me later that this was had been talked about. Basically, they've created, and I say they, these two guys ran off a Kickstarter. Let's see, I think it was November 18th, and they got close to $4,000. And I'm guessing that's, it says CA, so that's Canadian, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so $4,000 Canadian. It wanted a quarter mil. Now, wow. But so it was suspended by Kickstarter this week. The game's creators haven't been able to be reached. Now, why would Kickstarter suspend a game? Well, let's just go to the premise of this. So you're out playing a game and you play for points, or you play for, you know, stacking on a ladder, or you play for bragging rights. This one, you play for blood, real blood. Apparently, they've hooked up an IV, basically, is what we're talking about, to a pump, okay, to an Arduino board, which I'm under the impression it's a modified, like, BlackBerry-style board, you know? And it determines your weight, your age, and how much blood it can take from you. And then you play a game that's been modified to utilize this pump. And what happens is like, let's say, and believe it or not, they actually had Battlefield Hardline lined up to play with this. So Bloodsport was aiming to begin the tour of Canada on March 17th, timed with the release of Battlefield Hardline, to drum up support for this basically arena-style game where two people go fight each other in a game, and as they get killed, it actually removes blood from their body. So it's sort of like going to the blood bank, but it's timed by how much damage you take. And I'm guessing after a while, you'll pass out. I mean, you'll have blood loss to the point where you'll get lightheaded and be worse and worse in the game, you know? So basically, this is like real blood sports. And I was like, oh my God. So the two people, Taryn Chada and Jamie Umferson, were working on this in their spare time and decided, oh, well, we'll just start a Kickstarter. And, you know, they were taking like this professional gaming to the next level. So any of you hardcores out there who are being sponsored by some college or a country or something like that, would you really sign up to have your blood pumped into a thing while you were getting jacked up by some? I mean, just stop and think how much blood you'd lose if somebody found a glitch in the game, you know, like Destiny. Oh, look, I've got permanent automatic fire. Bah, 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 bah. Oh, my God, I'm dying.
The pump just runs.
Right. You see the blood dripping in my bag. So I saw that, and I was like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. No, I'm not. Someone actually did this, and what scares me is other people funded it. So, wow, okay. So I don't know where else to take this. I was so shocked that actually existed, and that it had been tried, built, tested and Kickstartered. I was like, oh my God.
Well, but, you know, and what I feel this is a modern day version of, you know, maybe we're dating. I know I'm dating myself here. When I was a kid, it was definitely on its way out, but we used to play marbles. And one of the things, if you played like a true marbles game, you know, you would have to wager one of your marbles. You would reach in and pull a random marble out. And that's what you wagered. So the loser would collect the other person's marble. And I believe, slightly more modern than that, I believe Magic the Gathering?
Yeah, Magic. You had to wager one card out of your deck.
I think you ponied up a card.
Yeah, random card.
You wager a card. So how do you do that in the video game era?
There you go.
You stick a needle in a vein. That is so crazy. So Kickstarter stops it. I'm sure these guys are probably already on some other crowdfunding site right now. Please fund our stuff.
I know, right? And I'm telling you right now, this is going to become a real sport, you know, somewhere in Australia or South Venezuela or something.
Yeah,
like.
Right.
We're going to hear about this. Mark my words, you're going to hear about this in some write-up there where some dude was found dead in an armchair with an Xbox controller in his hand.
You know? Yeah, a marathon gaming session. He didn't know when to stop.
Right? This is going to be an episode of Bones, I'm telling you.
Right?
Oh, my God.
That's crazy, man.
But there you go. So there's that.
Whatever. Whatever, man. I like Jay, I don't even know what to say about this. I know it's weird. It's funny. It's a way to, I guess, really get into the game a little more, make it more personable and more relatable, but... I mean, you know, now here's the thing also. I could, on the totally opposite end of the spectrum, do charity events like this and donate the blood to a blood bank.
That would actually be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We might have to email those guys. Hey.
I know. If y'all are serious about this.
Right.
Maybe that's why Kickstarter pulled it. They contacted the Red Cross.
That's right. That's funny. Alrighty, Jay's got a link to that in the show notes. Check that one out. Let's move on to our last bit of news, which Jay has also about MechWarrior.
Oh, yeah. Since I've been playing MechWarrior, and I can't let y'all not know that this has started, you can now gift sets of, you know, how MechWarrior are produced. Like, we talked about this before when they came out with the Clan Collection Wave 1. It was, you know, if you bought up to... the light mechs all the way up to this mech was one series, like the Uhlers, or let's see, they had the Uhler collection, the Blackhawk collection, the Thor collection. And basically what it is, if you buy the Thor collection, you also get the Uhler and the Blackhawk. If you buy the Blackhawk, you just get the Uhler. So you have collections, and they're basic rating levels. How much money you're willing to spend takes you up the ranks. Then they have the Wave 2 collection, like Kashi, Fenris, Loki, Man of War. And then the Inner Sphere couldn't be left alone. They've got the Fire Pack, Rage Pack, Fury, and Wrath, which there's four new mechs in all four of the classes. And you also get, you know, up to 8 variants of those mechs. So anyway, there's these packages. And they come with, you know, little bonuses, premium time, stuff you can put, you know, in the cockpit, stuff that you can, you know, paint your mech, certain skins, all these different things. So... here's the thing. It's tough if your wife knows how much money you spend to get these. So what you need to do is have a friend that you can steadily funnel money through, and then they buy it for you, because then it was a gift, right?
Right.
So now gifting is available. So what happens is someone goes online to the MechWarrior site. They click, once they've created an account of some type, they click, they buy it, and then they gift it to someone. Now, they're not responsible if you screw up and accidentally email it to the wrong person. Or if you want your money back, that's not their fault. But you can gift these collections to people. And that, you can check the site out. It's mwomercs.com/gifts. That was real hard, but it's up there. You've got the clans, the waves too, the resistance, and it's all listed in the gift store. So you can check that out. And it starts from $30, I think is the cheapest one, the Uhler collection, and goes all the way up to yes. Oh, and by the way, if you buy something that has a monthly, like it hasn't been released yet. Like right now, I think they're on the, I don't remember which one they're releasing at this point. The entire Clan collection has been released, but Wave 2 hasn't. All of Wave 2 hasn't. So what you're going to do is if you pay the $120 for the Man of War collection, it doesn't actually get released till I think the 22nd or the 12th or something like that. You get these bonuses every month for pre-ordering, much like we do in SWTOR. And each month you get, like, you know, a 30-day premium time, or you'll get, you know, a free cockpit item or something like that. And then on the last day when everything unlocks, they also give you a bonus item. And they also give you, what do you call them, the mech bays to go with all this. But if you gift someone this, it also kicks off those things. So you're not losing anything as if you were buying it for yourself. You're also gifting this stuff to people. And there's a lot of bonuses if you pre-order. Like, you know, do you remember the King Crab? It was a big flat mech with the claws. If you get the Wrath Pack right now, or the Man of War Collection Pack, on the last day, which is December 22nd, I think. No, it's December 12th. On December 12th, when it drops, you also get a king crab and a mech bay for it. Huh. And that's the only way to get it so far that I know of. You can't actually order it. So pretty cool. And then there's also one other thing that I want to give out there besides the badges and the titles that come along with all that and the faction packs. You also get faction packs by faction, hanging items, logo mugs, stuff like that. Is that now through PayPal, you can also buy what's called Karma Coins, and they're good for World of Tanks or Mech Warrior, a couple of other games that are played online. They're like one of those generic refillable cards. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you buy it through PayPal, you can buy it as a gift for someone through PayPal and give them credits. And if they use those credits to buy any of the things that I was telling you about, not only do you get the bonuses for buying that stuff, but you also get extra stuff for using Karma Coins and for using PayPal. Like, let's just say you bought something that was over $100 and used Karma Coins to pay for it as a gift for someone. You also get the Hunchback Mastery, which is all four of the Hunchbacks. I think, it's four Hunchbacks plus the everything you need to master it, and the Hero Hunchback and the Champion Hunchback and some cockpit items and special paint jobs and stuff. So not only do you get everything that they bought using the Karma Coins, you also get bonus stuff for using the Karma Coins to purchase it. So
wow.
It's actually a pretty good thing. I mean, so what you could do is like, let's say you knew my email because I've been giving it to you for 52 episodes.
Yeah.
If any of my listeners out there want to buy me the Wrath Pack using Karma Coins, that would be awesome. But seriously, it's a really good gift idea if you have a gamer who plays MWO. It's a better way than just saying, "Oh, here, why don't you use my credit card to buy it?" Or, "Here's some money, buy it yourself." You can actually do this yourself, gift it. They get all the bonuses and extra stuff. So there you go.
Nice. And I have a question. In the show notes, you put the Viridian Bog.
The Viridian Bog. That was a new map. Finally, they've released some new maps. It was a big concept that came out. I hadn't talked about a couple of other mechs that released. I didn't want to, chew it all up with MechWarrior. But they've released the Grey Death Legion, the Shadowhawk that the man himself drove on Grey Death Legion. And they've released a Hero Locust that's really good. But basically, the Viridian Bog is a swampy area that has these huge insect-like carcasses that have died, like their remains, their bones, or their carapaces.
Yeah.
And it's so big, it dwarfs some of the large, like, atlases and things like that. So you can hide behind them and walk through their rib cages and things like that. And there's tiered, stepped mounds. So it's really, really awesome because the way they've designed it, the concept art, it looks like Dagobah, I guess. If you were in a mech, this is what Dagobah looks like. But saying that, it's really a well-built map. It's gone through a lot of testing. There's multiple ways to win, team-wise and lance-wise. I've actually seen medium-sized mechs hold off half of a heavy lance all by himself, knowing what he was doing. So it's really a tactical map, and it's a lot of fun, and they just recently introduced it, and it's seeing a lot of playtime. You know how it auto rotates through the different maps? This one's seeing a lot of face time to get people used to it, which is really cool. I mean, we're used to the ice hills, and you end up taking the transmission station, everybody plays pancake, jumping up and down, shooting at each other. That's old. And then there's the desert where everybody gets, high ground and shoots down and gets behind the obsidian blocks and lets their LRM boats take care of everybody. It's been done. So the Viridian Bog is a new game. Small mechs have a big bonus. Medium mechs are okay. Heavy mechs are really in trouble because they can be bottlenecked and shot. I mean, literally, I've seen them where they use the whole pincher maneuver. They sent out a light lance and a medium lance and drew these guys in, and they had the heavies waiting at the top of these, mesas firing down into the valley and just chewed them up. It was like a scene from The Lone Ranger. It was horrible. So Viridian Bog is a lot of fun. I suggest if you haven't played in a while, log on, use a light mech so you'll see a lot of face time, and log in and try to go to the Viridian Bog. It's a lot of fun.
Sweet. Alrighty, that'll wrap up our news portion. We're going to move on to geeky stuff. I've amazingly, I've actually added something to this section. I know. And this is in relation to Shadowrun Crossfire. This is the Shadowrun card game, a cooperative card game that we've talked extensively about. The devs have released a series of videos, and I have a link in the show notes to the page. But they have, of course, a video from Gen Con 2013, I think, or 2014, I don't remember, but essentially where they premiered the game. And you get to see a little playable demo of that. Then there are three videos, and this is where the devs, the developers, are playing. So you get to really see how the game works. I haven't watched them yet, to be honest with you, but I believe there are at least two devs, maybe three, so you get to see different, you know, the street chamois and the mage, and you get to see some of the classes and how that's played. Also on the page, and I didn't download them, but there's a lot of stuff that you can download in PDF form for the game. I think the rule book is available. I think there's a couple cards you can download so you can kind of see what they're like. There's also some demo kits and some other things on there if you're interested in the card game. Check out Shadowrun Crossfire and get some demo PDFs and see what's going on. Alrighty, and our last little thing for geeky stuff, Jay's added a pretty good idea. I don't know why we've never thought of this before, but go ahead, man.
Oh, yeah, some ideas for gamers. Christmas is coming, you know, whether you subscribe to the Christian holiday or just Yule, or if you just want to give somebody a gift now, you know, go shopping on Black Friday or whatever it is, wherever you're at, and get some gifts. Okay, well, so what do you get then? If you're not a gamer, you're probably not listening to our podcast, but if you... If you want to hand this to your girlfriend so that she can listen and find out what to give you. These are useful things that a lot of people just don't think about whenever they're buying for gamers because, you know, they hear all about big expansion, this and that and the other thing. But by the middle of the year after they're done painting everything, they're like, oh, man, you know, what am I going to carry all this in? Or I wish I had a better paint set or, you know, why I can't find any dice to play this game. So here's a few ideas that we have out there, that, at least that I collected, and anybody who wants to throw stuff in here. Foam cutout trays, really useful for people who have mini games. You'll create this beautiful miniature, and if you stick it in a plastic box and it gets jiggled around, it'll break off, or the, you know, your really nice wash job or your ink job on the face will get chipped up. So what we use is these little trays that are about 2 inches thick, and they're basically sliced up so that you can pull pieces of it out, just small pieces, and then fit a miniature down in there where it's protected. And they put them in these, like, you know, basically they're like battle bags or battle boxes is what some people call them. And there's a lot of different companies that make them. I'm not going to, you know, say one's better than the other. But it's usually a vinyl zip bag that these trays slide down into, one on top of the other, and all your minis are protected. This is something that every gamer needs if they have minis. They may not even know they need it yet, but once you get it for them, they will be spoiled, I promise you. I do not have a working army yet, but I still have two battle bags back in the back room that used to fit my Sisters of Battle and my Grey Knights. So they're still back there. The foam's torn out, and it really is really awesome. Same thing with fishing tackle boxes. They may not seem like much to a gamer. You're like, what's a gamer going to do with fishing tackle boxes? Like, trust me. For years now, we love the kind that have the bottom parts that have trays that slide out, you know, where normally fishermen put their lures. We put minis, we put paints, brushes, dice, counters, all the little junk that gets thrown around in a backpack and you can't find when you need it, organized in a, you know, a fishing tackle box that they can put stickers on so that they don't look like a redneck. And, you know, they can put all their little BattleTech stickers or, you know, Warhammer or whatever it is they're playing. They can stick that all over there so it doesn't get mixed up with dad's stuff and he takes it out with his beer drinking buddies. There you go. And I'm telling you, these are excellent gifts. Look for the ones that have the slidable trays that slide out and then lock in place because each tray can be used for something different. Bottom tray for dice, middle tray for paints and brushes, top tray for counters or whatever. And then it's good to have. Plus, if you have paints that emit fumes or anything like that, locking them up in something like this allows you to keep them inside without having to take them out to the shed or whatever. And finally, paint brushes and dice are things. I mean, any mini guy goes through paint brushes like it's no thing. I mean, you get a really nice 000 horsehair brush, you know, 3 weeks later, it's a goner. you know. So, and you can go buy, there's not special brushes. I know Ralph Arthur used to make them, and Games Workshop still makes them, and you don't have to have those. You can go down to Michael's or Home, what's that other place called, you know, I don't know, there's Pottery Barns and
Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, Hobby Lobby, thank you. You can go to all these places. Just go back there and buy, you know, some flat pointy brushes and some wide open brushes for dry brushing. There's all kinds. Just go get some brushes. Trust me, your gamer will appreciate this.
Right.
It doesn't seem like it. That's a wonderful stocking stuffer, okay? Yeah. Dice.
Super glue.
Yeah, right? Super glue. Gorilla glue. Guys who, what's that, pebbles, what do you call it? Scenery pebbles and scenery grass.
Yeah.
That's excellent for bases and dioramas.
Lock.
Flocking.
Yep.
Call the just the Elmer's glue, because you can thin it out and put it on the base and put grass on a base and it changes the whole look of your mini.
Yep.
So these are all things that, you know, just it doesn't seem like it, but trust me, they want it. And they may forget to tell you this.
Right.
Dice, right?
Dice.
Dice. I mean, who doesn't need D20s, D10s, you know, you get with a group? Oh my God. And if you really want to impress them, go buy a bottle of Crown Royal. Just take the bag. Give the Crown Royal to your dad, right? Because that'll make dad happy. Mm. Give your boyfriend or girlfriend, whoever, the Crown Royal bag full of dice. You have just given yourself 2 weeks of whatever you want to do time.
Right.
They will appreciate the hell out of that. And then finally, card protectors. You can buy these at Walmart. You don't even have to go to a specialty store. They're in the section where you find the Yu-Gi-Oh and Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
Go there and buy Pokemon. Go there and buy the clear protectors. These are needed for all kinds of games, not just card games. Any of the games that we buy that we talked about, you know, the $40 Firefly game or the $80, right, you know, Warlord of Draenor game that's going to come out soon. As soon as World of Warcraft launches, I'm sure they're going to have a battle game on that too. But all these cards, they get dog-eared and messed up, and it protecting them with these card protectors, you know, because it never fails. Some idiot brings a Coke and puts it right next to the gaming board and wants to get all, you know, flourished with his arms and knocks it over and spills everything. So these are all things that people need, and they forget to tell you about. So it's nice stocking stuffers, or as just straight presents. They're really good things. So just go out, look.
I agree. And that's, you know, I'm an odd duck as far as gamers go, in that I don't have a dice bag. I actually use a Plano tackle box. That's what I carry all my dice in. Bought it for like $8 at Walmart. So, yeah,
hey.
In line with your gift ideas, that's my dice bag.
Everybody's got their own thing. I mean, I had a guy had all chrome dice one time. He had someone making chrome dice. I would not let him use them because they were weighted incorrectly.
Right.
But that being said, I mean, you know, you should have seen his dice bag. Remember when we did that one bit? What was it? Like seven episodes ago, where they had the aluminum dice that you could order in the back. Those were beautiful. Love to have those. Oh man, that'd be a great present.
Yeah, those are nice. Things like that, though, you have to watch out. If you're hosting the game, it's fine, but you know, some people may not want you tossing, you know,
heavy metal dice
across their dining table.
It's my mom's antique table.
Right, exactly.
20 on.
If you buy sharp, pointy metal dice, maybe you'd want to include a mat to go along with those.
A mat? I didn't think about that. Good call.
Yeah. A dice mat.
And
there again, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, they make other little things like that, that are like self-contained dice rollers. They have like a tray or a trough, and you kind of like put the dice in it and shake it or something, and they drop out into the trough. So, you know, because like you say, some guys get a little too wild and crazy and think they have to look like some, you know, wizard out of Lady Hawk the Slayer when they're slinging dice.
You and I should make a universal Boggle thing. You know, you remember Boggle?
Yeah.
The thing where wasn't it Boggle where you pushed down in the middle and the dice inside flipped up into the air?
No, that was Trouble.
Trouble, that's what it was.
The bubble, yeah.
The bubble and Trouble, yeah. Yep. We need to make a roller that you can put any dice in and just click.
Right.
That'd be awesome.
Just roll the dice. Alrighty, guys. Well, that's going to wrap up geeky stuff, and that's going to pretty much wrap up the show. Before we go, however, Jay and I have been talking, and we've kind of reached a point in our lives and with the Pulse, and essentially, this is our last show. We're ending the Pulse Gamecast after tonight's broadcast. Jay's got a little write-up in the show notes. Be sure to read that and check it out. But just, unfortunately, you know, we have to justify bandwidth usage and things like that.
And time.
And then just the following is unfortunately just not there. So we are ending the Pulse Gamecast. We're extremely grateful for any of you that have stuck with us for 52 episodes. We really appreciate it. Jay and I are still going to be associated with Holosuite Media, however. You know, we'll still be around. You can still find us, as we say at the end of every episode, via you know, Twitter and Raptor and Steam. We'll still be around. You can still get in touch with us. Still meet us in-game if you want. But yeah, we are pulling the plug on the Pulse Gamecast. But like I said, thanks again for tuning in. Thanks for support and listening and word of mouth spreading of who we are and what we do. So just thank you again. And you can find me on Raptor and Steam under Teletech 77062.
You can find me under Jason, JaySynn, under Raptor, Steam, and PSN Network. So like I said, if y'all see me out there, please feel free to shoot me like you have in the past. I guess it's been quite a ride, man. It was really awesome. We've had a lot of fun doing this, and it's really been an honor and a pleasure. I'm glad people cared what we had to say. So, but you know, this is Holosuite Media's IP, and we want to make sure that it gets all the love that it deserves. So we're gonna shelf it and hopefully see you guys out there, right?
That's right.
All right, man.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Y'all have a good one.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at the Pulse Gamecast. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.